Hello and welcome to Freedom Matters Today. I'm Michael J. Sutton. Freedom Matters Today looks at freedom from a Christian perspective. This series is titled, Does God Stand with Israel? And it is controversial because we are in the middle of another war in Palestine. In the past, questions over the relationship between the covenant or promise God gave to Abraham in the New Testament was academic and largely ignored because Christianity soon lost its Jewish roots after the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. While Jesus, his disciples, and most of the authors of the New Testament were Jews, succeeding generations of people who followed Jesus were from the nations, what the church often calls the Gentiles, which is in fact a medieval word. As a result, most people spent their time and spend their time in the New Testament, and the role of Israel as a people is more historical than contemporary, as few Jewish people gathered with those from the nations. There is the hope of the Apostle Paul, and it is a tenuous one, that one day many Jews will decide to follow Jesus, though these verses are ambiguous and contested. Today we're looking at the question, does God support genocide in Gaza? During COVID hysteria, many in the church were unwilling to stand for the truth and instead invented COVID theology to silence discussion, opposition, and repudiate anyone who stood for the proclamation of the good news in season and out of season, in the good times and the bad. The lockdowns, mandates, and passports were sinful, but these men openly promoted COVID theology that closed churches and belittled, condemned, and undermined Christians and others who refused to obey the state. They used to say, if you remember, God wants you to be vaccinated. Do you remember that? The same persecution of those who love the good news of Jesus is happening again during this nightmare of the Gaza war. Anyone who is shocked by the mass murder and war is silenced, opposed, and repudiated by another association of men, largely men, who have invented exemption theology. That is, exemption theology. And this is the view that the state of Israel is God's nation, and those who live in the state of Israel are without sin or moral accountability. They do not need the gospel, nor do they need Jesus, because they are the elect of God, and whatever they do, they are on God's side. Today, the supporters of this exemption theology say, God wants you to stand with Israel. Exemption theology is the belief that the state of Israel, but not Jewish people living outside of Israel, in America, Australia, or wherever it happens to be, it is the belief that the state of Israel is exempt from the gospel call. They are exempt from the proclamation of the gospel. They are exempt from the cross. They are exempt from grace because they are the elect of God. God made them holy by design of his ancient decree before the atonement, a declaration of absolute eternal forgiveness, so that no personal decision is required, no need for any cross, no need for any repentance, and no need for moral accountability. In exemption theology, the cross of Christ is for Gentiles and for the Jews who live outside of Israel, such as in America, but not for those in the state of Israel. For Israel, the state of Israel, is righteous before God. In COVID theology, it was a sin not to get vaccinated. In exemption theology, it is a sin not to support the state of Israel. In exemption theology, Jews can bypass the cross because they are the chosen people of God, and they can bypass the law of Moses because they are without guilt for whatever they commit. God will not hold them responsible because they are the elect, the chosen of God. What does this mean? Well, this means that all of us who see the horrors of war in Gaza are liars, all of us, and we stand against God and against Israel. This theology is once again the ideology of the state, and it is part of the imperialist mantra, eternal war, promoted by the colossal military corporations in the West. This time, the same group which fought against COVID theology supports exemption theology. COVID theology was designed to promote obedience to the state. Exemption theology is designed to promote obedience to the state. COVID theology was designed to promote and protect Big Pharma. Exemption theology is designed to promote and protect the military-industrial complex. It is just a different branch of corporate power. Both goals are the same. COVID theology was to build the social cohesion of the American state, and exemption theology is to build support for American foreign policy in the Middle East. The men and women, though mostly men, who promote exemption theology are not defending the freedom of America or Israel, but they are the handmaidens of American imperialism, under the guise of a fake theology as corrupt and vacuous as COVID theology. Throughout the world, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews are opposing the events in Gaza, opposing the policies of the State of Israel, are calling for the end of the war and a ceasefire. But the men of exemption theology in the church call all of these Jews fake Jews and enemies of God. In the eyes of these so-called Christian leaders, any Jewish person who opposes this war and wants it to end works for the devil. These fascist Christian leaders who support exemption theology are utterly corrupt and wicked men who use the sufferings of others for their personal gain. Many of the big Protestant evangelical megachurches in America, and some in Australia, are apologists for genocide in Gaza, and are complicit in the Israeli program for war, promote war, and give a green light to mass murder and genocide that is taking place in Gaza. As soon as October the 7th occurred last year, that terrible and tragic event, the mass kidnapping and invasion event, there were petitions from many of the big names in evangelical Protestant Christianity signing up to tell Israel that sending Gaza back to the Stone Age and committing genocide was in fact an action of righteousness for all nations, according to their theology, because they had the right to engage in a so-called just war. These men, as I have said before, men of the church, pastors, priests, and ministers, are either completely naive or completely corrupt. These rich, tenured university academics and wealthy pastors with their nice cars, their nice homes and large bank accounts don't know or care about the suffering of the poor in their own city, let alone the suffering of the poor in Gaza or in the Sudan or Donbass. They don't care about the suffering of others or the reasons for war. They simply want more money, because they believe if you bless Israel, then you will be blessed, and this means for these Americans, more money and more power. What we are witnessing in America today is what happens when religion becomes rich. This is the fruit of the marriage between faith, flag, and capitalism. It isn't pretty, and it isn't from God. In America today, the Protestant evangelical churches are so corrupt that they actively strive against the God they pretend to worship. In this nightmare, these hypocrites are so out of touch with the Bible, so out of touch with God, and so out of touch with people, that they are ruining the reputation of Christians. They are diminishing the public character of God, and they are condemning innocent people to death. They oppose the protests on university campuses as acts of violence and want them banned, but the protests are because of Israel's invasion of Gaza and the dreadful, awful, violent conduct of that conflict. The Palestinians want freedom, the same thing that these fake Christians proclaim on Sunday. But it is only freedom for them, not for others. These Christian ministers condemn the protesters, but Americans, if you remember, rebelled against the British seeking freedom. And then the South rebelled against the North for the freedom to keep their slaves, good little Calvinists that they were. But the facts of the Gaza war are irrelevant to these men. They rush back to their Bible and misuse it and misquote it and use it to promote this strange theology that the state of Israel, unlike Russia, China, Iran, the classic enemies of America, is exempt from the gospel because of its role in the end times, where America will protect Israel. The state of Israel is God's signpost for the end of the world, according to these men. But this unbelievably false, corrupt, and incorrect use of the text of the Bible gives a secular, non-religious state the green light to commit murder, which they will defend as doing the will of God. Exemption theology makes no sense to a person of sound mind. This theology is as mad as Crusader theology in the Middle Ages. Who are most of these people who support exemption theology? Well, overall, they are uneducated, hillbilly, Hicksville, redneck, gun-toting, constitution-loving, communist-hating, Trump-voting, evangelical Protestants. When Russia entered Ukraine, these same men condemned Putin. And now, even after 40,000 dead, these men will not even criticize the Israeli state for any of its actions. Even God, the God of heaven, is sinning against himself in their theology, because God condemned Israel repeatedly in the Old Testament for its failure to help the poor and the vulnerable, and God even allowed the fall of Jerusalem in 586-587 BC. According to exemption theology, even God was wrong, because he dared to criticize and condemn the elect whom he had chosen. The supporters of exemption theology support war with Iran, China, and Russia, but curiously say nothing about Saudi Arabia. No sermons on Saudi Arabia, but lots of sermons on the evils of Russia, Iran, and Hamas. What are the demographics of exemption theology? Well, overall, white, older populations, angry Americans, Trump supporters, abortion haters, climate deniers, pro-guns, pro-military. They support American imperialism. They hate Russia and China, and they believe that America is God's country, and that America's enemies are God's enemies, and their theology is a cancer that has spread through the West faster than COVID ever did. Sadly, it's come to Australia, and it is rapidly destroying faith here. Donald Trump, the hero of most of these theologians, called immigration into America poisoning the blood, which is what Hitler said. And Trump is now openly a fascist, a little bit like a cross between Al Capone and Mussolini. Trump hates protesters and is committed to the state of Israel, and the thing that he hates most of all is freedom. The real poison in any society is not blood, it is not race, it is not culture, it is not religion. The real poison in a society are men who have lost their way. Angry men. Men of rage, men of hate, men who have lost control of themselves and forgotten that they are dust. The disciples of exemption theology are angry men. They have no room for God because their egos are too large, and they don't want God to interfere in their search for higher profits. But God gives and God takes away. And if God gave poverty to these megachurch pastors, they would all give up their faith tomorrow because they're in it for the money and for the power. For some reason, gentlemen have not been prominent in American Protestant Christianity. Billy Sunday hated everyone. Billy Graham hated Jews. And now the same people who hate migrants, Mexicans, gays, and African Americans are telling you that they love the Jews, even though their ancestors supported the Holocaust by their silence. This form of Christianity will not endure because most people of sound mind are opposed to genocide, and if the church supports it, they will not support the church, and the church will die. America's support for Israel has nothing to do with God or the Bible. It is about oil. I stand against these liars and hypocrites because they're bringing the name of God into disrepute and shame, and others turn away from God because of these men and their fake religion. In the 1970s, it became clear to America that it was facing imminent decline, and it needed to strategically secure natural resources around the world. At the same time, the movement for the protection of the environment was in its infancy. This decline is quite simple, really. After 1945, America was the only power not destroyed in the war, and not in the process of reconstruction, rebuilding, or reimagining. By the 1960s, Japan was back, and Europe was busy setting up the common market. By the 1970s, this American preeminence was over, and Nixon was trying to secure peace with China, supported by Kissinger, mainly because of the ambitions of China's military technology. It was time for peace. This was the time of the oil shocks, which rattled the American economy, creating great uncertainty. The location of the vital resources was and remains in the Middle East. America needed allies in that region to advance its strategic program to control the oil. America had largely ignored Israel up to this point, though it was impressed with its abilities, such as the successful prosecution of the Six-Day War in 1967. This all changed with the presidency of Ronald Reagan from 1981 to 1989, who was arguably the architect of making America great again, not Trump. America changed with Reagan, and there was the pivot towards what has become American imperialism. It is often the case with imperialism that religious sentiment, belief, imagery, and ideology gets enlisted in this great experiment, and America is no different. In the 1950s and 60s, American Christianity was largely myopic introspection, a celebration of one's personal decision to follow Jesus, or the everyday continuation of the various traditions of faith. Billy Graham's gospel was for white Americans, and he was a friend of white supremacists, and his message was staunchly anti-communist. In other words, Billy Graham's theology was supported by the state because he was working to undermine Marxist Leninism in America. In imperialism, religion becomes a weapon of the state, and Christianity was enlisted for this war against the world, or at least the enemies of America. American Christians soon found the Spirit teaching them that America's enemies were God's enemies, that America's decline needed to be reversed because Americans were chosen by God, the light on the hill for all nations. And American imperialism surfed a new eschatology that was being invented in many churches in North America, the idea that the end of the world was coming, that there was going to be a struggle between God and the devil, between America and her enemies, and faith and flag were not only married, they became one. This new paranoid faith, injected with misguided patriotism, was perfect for oiling the military machine in advocating for the reshaping of the Middle East, which has occurred steadily over the last 40 years or so. Part of this is the elevation of the allies of America, chief of which is Israel. And to solidify this bond, this alliance, the American state needed to invent a new theology, one that could always be relied upon, one that God himself had written, and this theology was and is that America must always stand with Israel because God demands it in his word, the Holy Bible. Welcome to exemption theology. In the 1980s, in the Reagan era, the prophets of this new religion began to rise in immense popularity, and they cemented this foundation in American Christianity that God is on the side of Israel, at least until the oil runs out. After that, they won't care. Is this theology a product of American imperialism? Absolutely. Is there any basis in the Bible for this theology? This is the subject of this series, to return to the Bible and explore the relationship between the Old and New Testaments, asking a series of provocative questions for us today. Is Israel on God's side? The reasons for the controversy of this question is because of the intimate relationship between American imperialism and its theological allies in the American church. Religion always supports imperialism, though there are often prophetic voices against imperialism, but most people ignore them because they forget that Jesus was humble and compassionate, and they spin his words so that Jesus supports death and destruction. After all the killing, they go back to church on Sunday and talk about God's love to them and his hatred towards his enemies, which are always the enemies of their nation. This is a controversial series for which I make no apology. I began it because my faith and your faith are now subjects for the government to control. In the past, they kept out of our faith, by and large, but now governments are becoming bolder in terms of interfering in our personal and communal faith, telling us what we are allowed to believe. In COVID-19, governments were interpreting our Bible for us, demanding certain types of morality, defined by them, of course, and invoking God's judgment upon us. But most Christians welcome someone telling them what to do. After all, it's just like going to church. In the Gaza war, the relationship between Israel and the nations goes to the heart of the faith of Christians, but now we're told, here is the script, this is what you're allowed to believe, what you're allowed to say, and don't forget, we expect your loyalty. Christians who try to talk about Jesus are called Jew-haters and anti-Semitic. This, my friends, is the future of faith, a series of persecutions that will lead to the end of Christian testimony in the West. Last week I explained that this series is important because it is alleged by many that God stands with Israel and against her enemies, which is convenient for the state of Israel, enabling them to do whatever they want with impunity, for their transgressions are covered by God's electing grace towards them. But is this so? What Israel does is what Israel will do, and what they do is what they do before the God of heaven, and it is before him they must give an account. That's one side of the story. The other side is more practical, and why be diplomatic about it? Does God support the genocide against Palestine? If God stands with Israel, he must support the death toll, the killings and the loss of life in Gaza. The damage this war is doing to the people of Israel and the people of Gaza is incalculable, and it is all avoidable. And the nations rubbing their hands with glee are the Western nations, especially America. But it is not only Gaza suffering, but the testimony of God and his reputation. And I will not stay silent, for I do not agree that God stands with Israel, nor do I agree that he supports genocide, nor do I agree that he takes sides in war. There is no such thing as a just war. All wars are synonymous with horror, and it is hideous that Christians line up to defend war because some medieval criminal in the church 1,000 years ago needed to kill some people, and so they invented theology to justify it. Blessed are the peacemakers, said Jesus, for they shall be called children of God. And yet, where are the peacemakers? But if you want to be controversial, let's go there and let's look at genocide in the Bible. After all, after October 7, Netanyahu invoked the text from 1 Samuel where God commanded Saul to exterminate the people of Amalek, all the men, women, and children. The silence of the Western Church was deafening. This man announced to the world that his intention was to exterminate Palestinians, down to the last child. Otherwise, why quote this text? The Hebrew Bible contains a lot of genocide, and it stands and falls on this question of genocide. And we will continue this discussion next week. Remember, freedom matters today because you matter to God.